Welcome to This Family Life, a podcast where parents share their stories on how they organise the chaos of family life. My name's Nicole Avery, and as the host, I have the absolute pleasure of interviewing parents of all family types and sizes to find out the simple things they do to make family life easier and more fun. A warm welcome to episode 29 of This Family Life. Today's guest is Jen, and she's a solo mum to a 15-year-old teenager, a boy, so I have a lot to talk to Jen about. I find it really super interesting to talk to other parents who have teenagers because unlike toddlers and I guess preschoolers and even primary school, there seems to be a lot of conversation amongst parents and online about different behaviours and what's normal, what's not, and what you're coping with. I think it really dries up a bit when it comes to the teenagers. So I really enjoy any opportunity I do have to speak with other families and see how they manage teenagers, in particular teenager boys. So Jen and I had talked a lot about teenagers. We do talk a bit about early years because some of the challenges that she found when she was parenting solo with her son. She talks about how she manages technology with her teenager. She gives some of her best tips on parenting a teenager, and I really concur with them. I know the things that I've learnt the hard way, and she has too. We also talk about her work and how she's still managed to hold on to a career that she enjoys and how she's got, I guess, you know, the situation with her work life by asking for it, and how if you don't ask, you don't get. So if you'd like to check out the show notes, you can do so by going to planningwithkids.com/podcast to hear any of the recommendations that Jen makes and some posts that I talk about in this episode as well. Thanks for listening, and here is my interview with Jen. Hello and welcome to This Family Life. Today I'm talking to Jen, and Jen is a mum to one and she lives in Adelaide, Australia. Welcome, Jen, and thanks very much for your time. Jen, would you like to tell us a little bit more about your family, please?
So I'm a mum to one. He's a teenage boy. He's 15. And I've been parenting by myself from the get-go. So I've never had any financial or support, I guess, from his father. He lives in a different country. So it's been all on my own, so it's been quite interesting.
I can only imagine what a challenge that would be. So obviously as a teenager, you've gone through a number of different stages of parenthood. Have you found any stage more challenging than another?
I found when I brought him home from hospital, he was a newborn. He was obviously my first and only child, and I found that probably, in retrospect, probably the most challenging because obviously, just having a baby, your body's gone through a lot of changes. It was really hard, the feeding, the not sleeping, all of that. But I've found each stage since then has had its own challenges. And then, I know, you just sort of get through them because time goes so quickly. And I find now that he's older, he can stay at home a bit by himself. So it's actually given me a lot more freedom, which is quite good. Obviously, he's older and I've got to give him freedom as well. So that's another challenge.
Oh, absolutely. The freedom dance it is. I know that I think my older two boys, that one of their most highlights of the week is if everyone else in the house is going to be out except for them, they love that space on their own, even if it's just at home. And I think it's good for them to have it. And I guess in our house, sometimes it's a bit of a challenge because there's so many people around, and a complaint from the teenagers sometimes be, oh, there's nowhere to be by yourself in this house. So that's a challenge that I sort of tend to have in our house. So what advice would you give to a mum, I guess, who's adjusting to do it on her own? How have you managed, I guess, to keep it all together on your own over these years?
I would say if anyone offers you help, go for it. I was probably, when he was little, baby and toddler, I've got to do it on my own. You know, it's my choice. But I should have accepted more help and asked for more help. Things like just take lots of deep breaths and try and find time for yourself. And as he's getting older and being a teenager, try not to have the last word, pick your battles, and also learning to let go. That would be some advice that's easy to give, not so hard to give.
So how would you find time for yourself, I guess, if you're doing it on your own? Did you have a support network, or was it just you'd wait for him to go to bed and find time then? How would you find some time for yourself across the days or weeks?
Definitely when he went to bed, because we, early on, I really structured his sleep times, especially his bedtime. So as soon as I put him to bed around 7, 7:30, way back, that was definitely my time to have a couple of hours before I had to go to bed myself. I didn't have any family in Adelaide until he was about 2. So when my sister moved back, she was really good. She'd take him just for me to even go to the supermarket because, as you know, with a toddler, it's hard work going shopping.
Yeah.
And I also used family daycare. So I was able to get overnight family daycare, which was just fabulous. I could hook him in, drop him off, go out and pick him up the next morning. So I was really lucky. I think that's probably a lot harder to get nowadays. I'm not sure. But, yes, definitely need time for yourself to regroup. And even just putting him in the pram when he was little and going for a walk with the dog, that would, you know, he'd usually be quiet and I could get, even though I was with him, get some time for myself that way a little bit too. That
makes sense. No, it absolutely makes sense because if they're in the pram and they're occupied and they're quiet, you can actually just have a few moments just to think. And although, you know, obviously I did have a partner to share with, but sometimes when you're home with little ones over the time, I remember I could just go to the park and I could just sit, I might just sit on the bench sometimes and just watch them play. And even though I was there, it wasn't just least that they weren't sort of at you and it was just a bit of a pause where you could actually just have your own thoughts, which when you've got little ones sometimes it's a bit of a luxury. And I really love the point that you said about I guess those couple of points for advice for with teenagers, because I could absolutely, you know, concur with them, is about not having the last word. Because one thing I sort of found with both my teenagers is that teenagers either had the loudest word or the last word. And if you keep continuing to try and have the last word, the conversation or the debate or the argument just seems to go on and on and on. And it's amazing how if you just go, okay, and then you just let them have that last word, it's amazing how that diffuses the situation. I think that's what I found too.
I don't know if your kids tell you how to parent, but mine certainly tells me that this is the job I should be doing to be a better parent, which I find quite interesting. But sometimes he does have a point, which, you know, is good and bad.
I absolutely agree to that, and I think that's actually probably that's probably really quite a really good point to bring up. Actually, is that by letting them to have the last word, if you actually just stop and listen to what they say, as opposed to thinking about what you're going to say next, they can actually teach you a lot. And there has been times when I've let them have the last word, I've walked away, and I've thought about what they've said, and I've thought, you know what, they're actually right, and I'm wrong, and I think it's really good for a relationship with a teenager to come back at that point. If you have made the wrong choice, to go, okay, I've listened and thought a bit more about what you've said. Yes, you can do that, and that's okay. And I'm sorry I gave you that other answer or whatever first, because I do think that I've had some of the biggest growth in learning as a parent over the last couple of years, because teenagers do challenge you. And I find if I've not kept pace with where they're at developmentally, that I sometimes don't make the right decisions, and sometimes they need to drag me along a little with what pace we're at, I found.
Yeah, I like that my son, as far as I know, tells me most things. There's probably some things he doesn't tell me, but, for instance, recently we went away camping and he told me the next morning that someone had given him a shot of alcohol, and I was a bit like, oh, okay, well, not really okay, but I thought, well, at least he told me.
And I think that's the thing, because if you can keep those conversations and dialogue open on just generic stuff, there is a much, much better chance that kids are going to open up about the other stuff. I'm sure there's things that they don't tell you, but you've got a much better chance of them telling stuff that's really important if you actually can have those conversations and you're not just nagging all the time and you're not just getting into those debates and you're not just constantly, you know, are you doing this or why are you doing that? Because that's one of the things that I guess a tipping point for me, I think, with my eldest was when he was in year 10 and I found that we were just arguing too much, and it was over homework mainly, and he's a bit of a gamer and about how much he was on the iPad playing his game. And then I sort of just worked out that he needed to learn to manage that himself. What I was saying wasn't changing his behaviour, but what I was saying was deteriorating our relationship. And I think if I kept on that path, I don't think we'd have the relationship we do now. Well, he does, like yourself. He'll tell me stuff and it's like, oh, some of it's like, oh, God, maybe I didn't want to know that. But, you know, there are discussions that we can have now. But if I'd kept on my, I guess, it's a whole nagging versus nurture thing, which I wrote a post on a little while ago, is that it's really important, I think, with teenagers to get out of that nagging trap and nurture, because most of the times, like, they'll know whatever it is we're saying. Like, they'll know that, you know, I'll say to him, you know, you've been on the iPad for 2 hours, why don't you do your homework? He'll know that. And he knows that he's probably going to now stay up to midnight to do his homework. They know the stuff that we do. The best thing I can do is give him the right example, but nagging him is not going to make that helpful at all. I do find teenagers, though, in terms of technology, is a bit of an issue. How do you manage that in your household?
Yeah, that's probably what we argue over the most, because mine, he's a bit of a gamer as well, either on the computer or on the Xbox. So I've tried the you're only going to have a couple of hours on it on the weekends kind of thing, and that just didn't work out. And now I've just let go a lot, and just let him pretty much self-regulate. During the week, he has to do his jobs. If he doesn't do his jobs by the time I get home from work, he misses out on his Xbox the next day kind of thing. Yeah, and I just try and get him out the house doing other things so he's not on technology so much. So it's hard. I haven't got the answer, and I don't know that everyone's got the answer.
But I think you do have the answer in a way, because like yourself, I tried having tighter regulations, and I just find they will work out every way under the sun to circumvent them, to undermine them, to, you know, and just then it creates problems because they'll lie and cheat and get around them. And then you've got these other issues of trust and stuff broken. But then, you know, I remember having this conversation with my teenager, where he would say, but you're not trusting me to manage myself. And I can remember he turned around to me one day and he said, you know, it's my responsibility that I'm meant to do my jobs. It's my responsibility to look after a room. It's my responsibility to get myself off to school. But you don't allow me to be responsible enough to manage how much time I can be on my iPad. And I thought, okay, this is where he, you know, it's one of those lessons that you learn. I went, okay, I guess, you know, let's change it. And so we did, and we went pretty much to like what you do, self-regulations, you know, obviously, you know, it needs to be off at 10:30 at night when we went to bed and not on before school. But around that time, it's up to him to self-manage. And although I would love for him to be on it less, he's certainly not on it as much as I thought I would be in that regard. And he still gets everything done, and he's still very social and goes out and does exercise. So I think it took me too long to learn to let go. And I guess I've learned that lesson with number one, and I've moved on better with number two and number three. I guess I have a bit of a practice there. I guess there are times with my boys that I'm really just happy to tag with my husband and go, you know what, I'm done. I just can't deal with them anymore. What do you do when you get to that point? How do you cope when, I guess, because sometimes they do really just push you so far, you don't know, you don't want to speak to them anymore. How do you cope when you get to that point? Or if you get to that point, I shouldn't presume that you do.
Yeah, I think it just comes back to getting out and me getting out and doing something for myself. And I can just say, well, I'm going out for an hour. I just, you know, going shopping or going for a walk or whatever. But yeah, obviously I don't have anyone to tag team with, so.
But I think sometimes you're just taking that break, because I know certainly with my teenagers, you know, the older ones, I'll certainly leave home on their own. And I know there's been times my husband has been away and I've just said, I'll take the younger kids and we'll go for a walk around the block, you know, just even just something, just change the scenery for me. And I come back and I might have calmed down and I don't have that same level of anger. So I think just that.
Calm down too.
Yeah, exactly. And that's one thing.
Oh, shit, maybe that wasn't quite the right way to react either on my part.
Absolutely. And I think that time out, that breather works so well for both parties, because sometimes it does become that they just want to rise and rise and rise, and they're not prepared to back down. And you know, and if we are right, you know, we want to say that we're right, because we don't want them to think that they're right. And I think sometimes the only thing that does really help is that breakdown. And then sometimes I find with my boys is that we can just go back and we won't necessarily talk about it straight away, but it might come back in a conversation another day or so time, where we come in and one or other of us will say, oh, but that was okay. We were, you know, I worked out that I probably should have done this or I should have done that. I think we sometimes, I know my boys do move on quite quickly, and I have to remember if they move on, I sort of need to move on too, because the whole grudge holding doesn't help anybody. And I feel like saying, but I want them to say sorry. And then most of the time they will come to it, but you can't demand them to say sorry, because I think they'll just dig their heels in and not say sorry. So you're better off just letting them go. Now, you work full-time outside of the home. How do you manage mealtime coming in from work with yourself and your son?
I work here 0.9, so 9 days a fortnight, so it may as well be time. Because there's only two of us, I use a slow cooker a lot in winter and cook big meals. So we have, if I cook something that might last us two or three meals, whether I freeze it, whether we eat the same thing straight over two or three nights, or I just cook something quickly. We don't go out that much to eat. Sometimes I'll try and get him to help me a bit, but that's a bit hit and miss as well. It'd be nice if he could come home from school and he'd something. That'd be really nice.
Yeah, I know. We go through the hit and miss here too. One of the things that I've noticed when I've been speaking to women who have, you know, gone back to the workforce, whether they've chosen or that they've needed to, but most of them have found that to a certain extent they've had to put, I guess, a career path on the hold, particularly when the kids are young, and to keep up with family commitments. Is that something that you've found, or have you been managing to, I guess, walk along the path that you had wanted to?
Oh, look, I think I've been pretty lucky, actually, walking on the path that I wanted to. I've been in a job that I enjoy. But I guess when I first started back at work after I had him, I was working 3 days a week, and then I got a secondment into another job and worked 4 days a week. So I've nearly been kind of full-time pretty much since I started back at work after having him. But I know from speaking to other women as well that they find it really hard to find part-time work. There's hardly any, like, professional work. There's not that many jobs that are advertised that are part-time. And I've just applied for full-time jobs and asked to cut down hours, and usually I've been quite good. I've been quite lucky.
I've had a friend who's just done the very same thing as well, and it's worked for her. Like, she's not going down to 2 days a week, but she's pretty much, I think she's doing like a 4 day week, and will go in if needs to. But she did the very same thing. She applied for the full-time job, got it, and then did some negotiation, which was a really interesting approach. And because I think sometimes that, you know, if they're really dedicated, you'll probably find that you get that. I mean, I know when I worked 4 days a week, I did 5 days worth of work anyway. And I think if an employer is smart enough, you're going to have a really dedicated employee if you give them some conditions that are going to make their family life a lot easier.
I'm an absolute advocate for part-time work, and also asking. If you don't ask, you don't get. So it's not, there's no harm, I don't think. They can only say no, and bonus to you if they say yes.
Exactly.
And I'm lucky, I've got flexible hours as well. So because my work's close to my home at the moment, I can go in, as you work, half an hour extra a day. So I have flexi as well, which works out well during school holidays and so on.
Oh, that would be very handy. How do you go switching off from work when you get home? So obviously, you know, you've got a job that you like. How do you go from switching from work mode to home mode?
As soon as I walk out that work door and walk in the home door, it's off. I mean, sometimes work does chase me home, but not that often. So I'm, pretty easily actually, because once, I think it's a physical location thing. Once I'm home, I'm home, and it's doing my home things, not my work things. So I think that'd be harder if you work from the home.
Yeah, absolutely. Now, do you have routines and plans to help you keep organised during the week while you're working?
I suppose just things like getting up at a certain time, walking the dog in the mornings, doing that kind of thing. But otherwise, apart from commitments we might have on particular nights, not just the normal routines of getting up, getting ready for work in the morning and coming home and repeat kind of thing.
I know, it does feel like rinse and repeat. One thing I've noticed with my oldest, who's now in his final year of school doing his final exams, is that when he was in year seven, he'd get up, you know, pretty early and get himself organised. And now I think he gets up about 45 minutes to an hour later than he once used to, and he gets out with the absolute minimum amount of time to get ready and then just get out the door, because sleep has become the most paramount thing in his life. How does your teenager get up and going in the morning? Is he pretty easy to do, or do you need to do a wake-up call like I do with my eldest?
I set an alarm that wakes us both up. I usually just wake up anyway, but I just set it for him, so he has to get up and turn it off. Sometimes I've come home from walking the dog and he's still in bed and he needs to leave 25 minutes after that. So, but he, as long as he can eat in the morning, and that's the main thing for him, he's got to eat. Obviously get his school uniform on, and I still pack most of his lunch. and he's out the door pretty quickly. So, yeah, interesting. He's pretty good, actually.
And does he have set, you mentioned some jobs that he needs to do before, you know, he gets onto his technology and stuff. What sort of stuff do you like to get him to do around the house to help out?
He does things like putting out the recycling, rubbish, taking out the rubbish bins, bringing them back in, putting away his clothes. He feeds the dog. He's supposed to walk with us sometimes. That's a bit slack. He reckons he plays with him. What else do I put on this list? Oh, things like emptying the dishwasher, to keep him tidying his room.
The teenage room's an interesting one. I've sort of got this truce now with my eldest that I don't go into the room unless he's there and I ask permission first. And it's mainly because the room is in such a state of chaos that he doesn't want me to come in. My 15-year-old, I still go in and stuff. One thing I found is that I've just had to let go of knowing the room is a mess. Like today I said to him before he left for the house, I said, you have a choice. Do you want to strip your bed and bring the linen down for me to wash, or I'm going to go up there and get it? So naturally the linen came off and it was in a little wash basket for me. How do you go along those privacy lines with teenagers? Because they get very, very, very protective, I think, of their space, especially in our house when they have to share so much.
We moved house nearly a year ago and he's got a great, fantastic room. He's very lucky. But, I've been told in uncertain terms that I have to knock before I go in, and I'm not to go in there when he's not there. And fair enough, that's his space, that's his privacy, and he's going to respect mine as well. Yeah, for tidying it. We used to have a cleaner, unfortunately she's left now, but that'd be one way of getting him to tidy his room. She was coming, well, she's not going to do anything in your room if you don't tidy it, so he would at least pick things up off the floor quite often and end up on his bed.
And that's very much what I do with the 15-year-old. I don't go into the 17-year-old, and I'll often leave the vacuum at the bottom of the stairs, and he's then needs to go back in himself. And I'll just pick up whatever in the 15-year-old room and put it on his bed and vacuum around it. And I have really worked out that, you know, I don't want the kids going into my room and snooping through things, and I need to respect that. And I think our relationship's been a lot better since I've just gone, okay, it's your room, but if it starts to smell, then that's when I draw the line. If the smell starts wafting down the stairs, I can come up and tidy it up. So we sort of have these little lines in the sand about where we can and can't go, but I think that's a learning that you have to do. And each kid, I think, has a different level of privacy and how they're going to work it, but it's a fun journey. I'm just intrigued to see if it's any different with girls as my older girl gets there, because with the boys, at the moment she's still at the phase where she'll refurbish a room and turn it all around and put different furniture everywhere, and so her room's always spotless. I'm just wondering if that's going to last forever, because that would be sort of nice. Now, just a couple of questions that I like to ask every guest I have on the show. What book has had the biggest influence on you as a parent? And it doesn't have to be a parenting book.
I couldn't think of one. You sent the questions earlier and I couldn't think of one. One maybe that could possibly spring to mind was one that you recommended about how your team makes you crazy, or your team makes
Your team is crazy.
I haven't looked at that one as much as I thought, but that seemed to, out of all the sort of parenting books, especially as a teenager, which is probably where I prefer to most books.
And is there an item that you'd have bought recently that has helped make family life easier for you?
I've put the cleaner down, which isn't an item. It's a person who comes and does things. But, I love having a cleaner. And unfortunately, she left the country to come and look after her mum. But she was just so great, especially working really full time. It's just so lovely to come home Friday after work and the house is clean.
That is high on my wish list of things. I'm hoping maybe next year I might be able to crack that, because I think that it's one of those things where it's just about, I would rather value hanging out with the kids than clean the bathroom and stuff. Even though everyone does their bit, there's just so many people in here that just requires to be done so often that as soon as I can, that's really high on my list of things too. And finally, what advice would you give to a new mum? It doesn't have to be to babies, but something that you've learnt in your parenting journey.
I would just say enjoy each stage. I mean, I said before that each stage does have its challenges, and sometimes it feels like you're stuck in the longest day ever. But time, just looking back, my son's 15 now, the time's gone so quickly. And, sometimes I wish I had taken myself more in the moment of each stage. I just wonder where the time went, just flown.
Yep, I absolutely agree with that, because I think that we can so look forward and just wish a stage over that you don't actually enjoy that time in the moment. And it's sometimes when they are particularly, you know, grinding situations. But it's amazing that once they get into school in particular, that, you know, at the school year ticks by and then another one and another one, and it just zooms by so quickly. Just to cherish those different stages, I think that's really, really beautiful advice. Well, it's been a pleasure to talk to you, Jen. And I really particularly love talking to other parents about teenagers, because I'm still on a massive journey about learning about parenting teenagers. So I always find it interesting to hear what other parents are doing and how they react and what's sort of working in their house. I think it's a whole thing about, it's sort of nice knowing that everyone has some similar struggles, that it's not just you on your own. So I'm sure a number of other parents of teenagers will have loved to hear what you said as well. So thank you very much for sharing so honestly with everyone today. Well, like me, I hope you found some tips to help you organise the chaos of family life in this episode. If you've enjoyed the show, I'd love it if you would subscribe in iTunes. And if you really wanted to share the love, you could even leave us a review for us in iTunes as well. Leaving a review means it will be easier for other families to find the show and they can benefit from the tips too. If you'd like to get in touch, the easiest way to do so is to head to planningwithkids.com/podcast. You can find all my contact details there. Thanks so much for listening to This Family Life.
Jackrabbit FM.
For your ears.
Who is that? Hi, Puck Pass.